Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Olivia,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 146. I am Shannon, and tonight we got the original crew here, me and Pete.
Yep, it's coming to the end of the summer and coming after D23. There's not a ton of news, but we got a couple of things.
It's funny because you say end of the summer, but Ryder started school 2 weeks ago. So like my summer ended 2 weeks ago. But I guess it's Labor Day is when technically like the end of summer.
I tend to still think of Labor Day. Our daughter is in college, but it doesn't start for her till Labor Day either.
Yeah. But before we get started, we do want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is DVC Rental Store. So maybe you are a DVC owner and you just can't use your points this year. You can definitely reach out to our friends from DVC Rental Store. They will help you rent out your points. Or maybe you ran out of points and you need to rent, or you're looking to maybe try before you buy. That's a really great option. If you are looking into DVC, but you want to try it first, a good way to do that is to rent some points. So you can definitely hit up our friends at DVC Rental Store. You can, if you have a date in mind, they can see what's available, but also they have pre-booked selections and pre-booked vacations that you can look and see if it matches up with the dates you're looking at. So definitely go to dvcrentalstore.com. And they will help you out with all your DVC rental needs. So this story, we had planned to record tonight, and then this story was released earlier today. So it was great timing, which usually doesn't happen. And that is that we got some more details about the Polynesian Tower. Disney Parks blog shared some more information about the new DVC Tower at the Polynesian Resort. The restaurant will be called, and I'm going to butcher this, Wailulu Bar and Grill. Wailulu gets its name from the Hawaiian words wai, which it means water, and lulu, which means calm. This spacious area will have both indoor and outdoor seating and is described as a casual walk-up location with an all-day menu serving lunch and dinner. Specialty coffee on the go, morning pastries will be available for breakfast. These all indicate that this is likely a quick service spot. This sounds more, I don't think it's a quick service. I think it sounds more like Geyser Point, doesn't it?
That could be too. You're right. It could be like almost like hybrid of quick service, table service, because Geyser Point is weirdly that, because it has a counter you can go up to, but it also has tables where you can sit and order from. So yeah, it might be something like that as well.
You can't make reservations at Geyser Point, because we stayed at Wilderness Lodge last year, and that was, we ended up eating there, but we never ate there and sat down because the wait was always like over an hour. And
right, small for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But so I think, and I love Geyser Point. So if this is like that, I think that's great. And if it's going to be bigger, even better. But that's what I think.
Yeah, but I still think of Geyser Point as quick service, even though you order off a menu. It's a fairly limited menu, and it's nothing fancy or anything. That's a great point. It's almost a different category for Disney, because it isn't quite quick service where you go up to a counter and get your food, but it's also not quite a table service restaurant. Yeah.
They also see the popularity of Geyser Point, of how popular it is. So I'm sure they see that. The pool is to be called the Cove Pool and will have a zero entry point. There will also be a splash pad called Moana's Voyage with a sculpture of Moana and her raft. So that looks really cool. Ryder still likes the splash pad. He's technically too tall now, but he's not rough. He doesn't roughhouse. So usually they let him go. let him stay in, but technically he is too tall. But he's past that splash pad point. But I could see if he was in that age range and the Moana, I think that's great. And then as seen in the blue,
it looks similar to the one they put in at the Disneyland Hotel with the Steamboat Willie, where it's really just some water, because there's different levels of splash pad, right? You got the one at the main Polynesian, which has like stairs and buckets and everything.
No,
that
one's the best. That one's by far the best, yeah.
Right. And I think this one is more of it's basically just going to be a small area where they got some squirting fountains that the little kids can run on. So I think it is going to be more, it's probably going to be a little too young for someone his age's interest anyways.
Yeah. And then as seen as in the blueprints, but now fully defined, the resort will have four tropical terrace gardens. Each terrace garden will feature vibrant artwork, lush foliage, and uniquely themed seating areas. The distinctively designed hideaways will offer families a serene locale to gather and take in the views during their stay. I think that's nice. Gardens are always nice. I think it makes pretty scenery. Yeah. And then there's also a gym, right? Isn't there a gym? I read something about a gym.
Yeah, they did.
That surprised me.
Well, right, because it's so close to the gym at the Grand Floridian.
Which is shared with the Poly.
Which they used to share with the Poly, but now it'll be this one. It's still a selling point, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
No, it is, because honestly, and we'll talk about my cabin stay recently, that was one of the downsides of the cabin, is that there is no gym. And it's the only DVC that doesn't have any gym. Now, for most normal people, that's perfectly fine. You're on vacation, you're at Disney, you're going to get enough. For my husband, that was a disappointment for a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that do like to work out on vacation. I used to be one of them, but not anymore. But yeah, I think it's all great. We actually got a wait list for Thanksgiving weekend. So Friday and Saturday of Thanksgiving to go at the Polynesian. So I put it in. Oh, let's just put it in. I'll put a wait list in for Thanksgiving weekend. And it just came through. So now I think it's 3 weeks before it opens, but maybe I'll go over there and take some pictures. And
you got to imagine most of the fences will be down by then, because they'll be having the executives will all be walking through with weeks leading up to it.
For sure.
One thing I did want to mention, those terrace gardens, they at least two of them are like up in the resort and facing the lake. So they're going to be, I think, very popular for the fireworks viewing. And in addition, they did mention in that article, or kind of implied in that article, that you have to be staying there at the tower in order to go into those terrace gardens. So I assume you have to be able to go up the elevator. And so I don't know if they're going to have some kind of restriction, particularly, I doubt it matters much during the day. But as I said, I could see for the fireworks viewing, people would come from other resorts and want to go there and watch the fireworks. So it might be something that they restrict in the evenings.
Okay. But that's all we got. Not a lot on it, but I know they're starting to like advertise, call your guide, but really there's no information has been released. It is an extension of the current Poly.
It's definitely yes.
Okay.
Yep. I really think that by the end of September, it'll be on sale. So I think we're gonna see an announcement within the next couple of weeks for the on sale date for members, and then of course non-members. So I think it could go on sale in September for members. We'll see, but I don't think it's far now. I think it's weeks, not months.
Cool. Yeah, and I know a lot of people are anxiously awaiting for it.
Yeah, I bet that's a popular resort, and a new tower there makes it all the more popular. The one thing is, you got to think, like, you're not getting in that tower as a non-owner.
Maybe initially, but I don't even think, because there's so many existing. I was able to get into the Grand Floridian Resort Studios
first. But that was a lot of studios. There's still a lot of studios in this. But the thing is, you already have this massive amount of members that are already there. Right. And they'll probably give new buyers a slight advantage to book there. But then all the current owners will be able to book at 11 months. So I don't think it's not like with the cabins, right? It's that there's so few owners that there's going to be availability at 7 months, and people can come in here. You got all the owners over at the longhouses. Now, the good news is that should make the longhouses more available, because those owners are going to want to get in there, want to get into the new studios, want to get in, maybe get a one bedroom or a two bedroom. So I think that'll open up more opportunity for the rest of us to get into the longhouses, which quite honestly, I'm perfectly happy with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love walking around that resort. So if it makes it easier for me to get into the longhouses, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So the next piece of news we got a lot of announcements in our last episode, if you haven't listened to it, where we talked about the announcements out of D23, but couple of days after D23, they put an announcement that I think they avoided talking about because it was going to not make people happy, that they were going to be closing Tom Sawyer Island and the Rivers of America for the new Frontierland attractions. And so shortly after the D23 announcement of new attractions coming to Walt Disney World, Disney released a concept image of the two new Cars-themed attractions. From the image, it was clear that the area that is now Tom Sawyer Island and the Rivers of America would be replaced, and these new attractions would be added to that area. Construction is expected to start sometime next year. Response, of course, was varied across the internet, with concerns about both the removal of the classic attractions and the addition of Cars-themed rides to the area. There was also similar questions that were being brought up about the Monsters, Inc. area in Hollywood Studios, though nothing official has been said. It's one of those things that people are thinking either it's going to go in the Muppets Grand Avenue area or it's going to go in the Animation Courtyard Launch Bay area. And of course, people are very worried that the Muppets show is going to close. What do you think, Shannon? Let's start with Tom Sawyer Island, because that's the real thing.
We said, was it last week? That I don't remember when we recorded, but we said it. We said that was going to happen, right? Like I said,
we guessed it. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised that people are upset, but like people that are, and I'm probably going to get heat for this, but I'm shocked. Like so many people are just like furious about it. Like I've seen just so many posts and then videos and how they're, and I get there's, it's the original thing of the park. And I understand a lot of that. But then I also ask, when was the last time you went to Tom Sawyer Island? Yeah. It's not easy to get to. The last time we went, we've gone twice with Ryder. And the last time we went, it took a long time to get there because we had to wait. It just took a long, we actually had to wait half an hour before we were able to get on the raft. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It was great. It was great, but it's not a lot of people. And it's, you know, he enjoyed it, but he doesn't know who Tom Sawyer is at this point. But and then it's, you got to wait for the raft to come back, and then it closes at dawn. And probably the thing that annoys me, and it really annoyed me when Splash Mountain or Tiana's was closed, was to get to Big Thunder. It was a hike, you know, because you have to walk all the way around it. There's no through path. Yep. And just to go there for one ride or one attraction, it was always, and especially now, at least now there's Tiana's, but I that always bothered me because it's just this kind of dead end. So I'm thrilled that now, am I thrilled that it's Cars? And do I think, probably not, but I have to think that I think it's a good thing. I understand it's going to be the aesthetic, and I have great memories of going on the island with my dad, who has since passed away. Mm-hmm. But I get it. Like, it's a lot of landscape. I'm not upset about it. I understand it. I think it makes sense. And I think it also makes sense logistically. I just was really surprised. But then I also think a lot of times, especially for YouTube, that negative videos get more hits.
Oh, and which sure.
Get more hits, more views. Yeah. Everybody wants to hate. And there's channels now that are just like hating on Disney just because it increases the revenue. My video on the multipass was probably one of my highest videos recently. And it was just because I was ripping into it because I don't like it. But people love that. And I'm usually very positive in my videos, which is probably why my channel is still stagnant. But it's just, but hate sells. And so I don't know how much is really true. I think it'll be missed, but at the end, I think it makes sense. And I guess, I don't know.
There's people that are going to miss anything, right?
Right.
Because you have memories of things. And so no matter what you take out, there's people that are going to miss it. How many people are going to really be like, oh, this is the last straw. I'm not going back to Disney because they took this out. Probably nobody.
Right.
And I was surprised because I posted in the My DVC Points community. I made it because I saw all the negative stuff too. And I was like, I made a post saying, hey, I might be in the minority here, but I think this is great. That area, we went once. When our daughter was maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6, she was bored. We thought it was boring. It's a lot of wandering around, but it isn't like a modern day play area. Like, they haven't modernized it at all.
So they can't.
Not really.
It's so hard. Logistically, it's hard to update it.
Yeah, but it's just kind of, you wander around and yeah, there's like a cave. You go through the cave and you go over to the fort and things like that. But there's really not much there. And so to me, like, you said you went twice. We went once. We've never been back. I'm not even sure I've rode the riverboat once in Magic Kingdom. Several times we've almost done it, but then like we walk up and it's left and we're like, oh, we're not going to wait. The only thing I'll maybe miss is where the riverboat docks is covered. And there's a couple times that I've ducked out of the pouring rain there. If you look at the drawing, there's going to be essentially a direct walkway from Haunted Mansion to Big Thunder Mountain, which will actually be really nice, because that wandering around Tom Sawyer Island to get from, as you said, from Liberty Square to...
If you're trying to walk, like, during a parade?
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah. I'm happy. As you said, Cars theme, I wish they could have found something. Because, like, that end of the park particularly, yeah, I know we have Tiana's there now. But, well, and we got the Country Bears. But it's not a particularly, like, cartoony area. And even the Haunted Mansion and Big Thunder Mountain are not cartoony. And then to have like anamorphic cars driving around might seem a little weird. They are theming it still to the West. I don't know, whatever. It's not the worst offense Disney's done.
And somebody posted, I can't even remember the guy's handle on Twitter, but someone that is someone that I follow that has really good insight and probably sources at Disney. Mm-hmm. And that basically stated that the getting rid of Tom Sawyer Island came from actually management at Magic Kingdom, that it's a logistical nightmare. It's hard to maintain. It's expensive to maintain. So if you think about how much it is to maintain that area, to staff that area, and for what? For very little return on investment. And yeah, it's aesthetic and it's pretty and everything, but it's just, it takes up a lot of space. And I think it's great.
Yeah. It's a huge space.
Yeah. I think it's probably one of the better decisions. Now, Cars, I just hope it's done well. I think Frontierland is probably going to be changed or rethemed or something. But again, like, things change and it's time to grow. And the park is expanding and people keep saying, but Disney has unlimited space. Yes and no. But do you really want them to keep expanding and you're going to have to walk that? No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. It's, as you said, it's a dead space. And if they do it right, it'll actually make walking around the park easier, so that when you're
absolutely
out at Big Thunder, you're not, do I take the train around or do I walk 2 miles?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know. I think it's great. Yeah.
So the other one, I had heard it was going into the Animation Courtyard and Launch Bay. I know I see the artwork that it looks more like it's on Grand Avenue. We actually saw the Muppets, the 3D Muppets thing the other day, and it was great. Or when we went last month, and it was great. We hadn't seen it, but we only went in only because it was raining and it was to duck out of the rain. But it was great. Like, we hadn't done it in a long time and we had a fun, but it was, we walked right in. We walked right in and sat right down and there was no wait. It was
it's a big theater, but I've never... We always seem to time it so we enter right at the beginning of the pre-show, but the pre-show is almost as good as the show. It's a lot of fun, so I don't even mind that. But yeah, it's definitely not a super popular. It's probably more popular than Tom Sawyer Island, but yeah, it's not the most popular thing for sure.
Yeah, so I think that the people being upset about it is because I think that's the last thing that Jim Hansen worked on.
Yes.
Before he passed. So I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I put it on Disney Plus. I don't know. I don't prefer it there. I do prefer it at Animation Courtyard and take up that space, because that there's just so much that Star Wars Launch Bay doesn't make sense. And I hate that area there. But either way is fine.
Yeah. Honestly, to me, it makes more. People don't, I think, realize how much space is back there. Launch Bay is still technically there, but there's not much there. It's just a meet and greet, or maybe
it's all the meet and greets. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, but it was not just like the Animation Academy or whatever, it was part of the tour at the time, and there's offices and everything back there. So there's really room to expand that and make a full land. And again, it actually loops over, I shouldn't say it loops over, but the way that Sunset Boulevard curves around to Rock and Roller Coaster, you could actually connect back through there to Rock and Roller Coaster if they did it right. And to me, it makes, like, Monsters Inc. land makes more sense with the Toy Story land right next to it, and also the little Pixar area there that just has meet and greets and everything. It seems to me like that all would connect better than putting it over on the other side by between Indiana Jones and Star Tours and more Star Wars. And
yeah,
I kind of hope from a theming standpoint it goes in the Animation Courtyard. I'm a big Muppets fan, so I would be sad to see the Muppets go, but it wouldn't be devastating to me to
exactly
see
it. I don't want it to go away, and I want it to stay, and we enjoy it, but especially it's a great place to get stuck out of the rain or get AC. But at the same time, if that's where it's going to go, I'm not going to protest. Okay, we're actually on Disney's side on this one, so we're good. Now, the next thing is that the Epcot DVC Lounge has been renamed. Now, it was supposed to open before our trip, and it wasn't, so we didn't get to see it. But the Epcot DVC Lounge is being rebranded by Disney as the Imagitarium? Atrium? Is that what it is?
Imaginatrium. Yeah, I gave you all the hard words.
Imaginatrium. Okay, a member lounge.
Terrible.
Currently,
name,
the closure of the lounge has lasted longer than the original plan, with no reopening date announced by Disney. A new paint scheme has also been announced for the area, as well as a new exhibit of archival photos. Yeah, I hope it reopens. We missed that it wasn't there, and the temporary one was also closed. So there was no lounge. There was no pass holder lounge. There was no lounge at all. So we did miss that. But I guess the name's fine. I don't know. We'll see.
It's dumb to make it like a hard to pronounce name, but yeah, everybody's going to still call it the Epcot Lounge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah, but Imaginatrium. Okay. And then our last story already is our friends over at the DVCnews.com posted July DVC sales, and sales were really strong, and Riviera had its best sales month in 4 years. There was 206,000 points were sold in the month of July, according to DVCnews.com, and over 109,000 of those points were sold at Riviera Resort. And that is actually way higher than the average has been for the last couple of years, because it's been running around 60, 70,000. So real good sales month. Riviera is now 68% sold. 79% of the resort is declared into inventory. So that they're getting close to full up. That probably within the next year, they'll fully declare that, would be my guess. And it's hard to say with the Poly coming online, whether the Poly, I would think the Poly will be more popular, especially if they're the same price. And so it might slow down the Riviera sales, but I think Disney has probably got to start thinking about what comes behind Riviera and Poly, because it's not the cabins.
Yeah.
But the villas at Disneyland Resort also had a really good month, their best month since last summer, and they sold about 35,000 points there. And Old Key West came in third with just under 27,000 points. And the Poor Cabins at Fort Wilderness continues to lag and only sold 6,500 points. That was actually up from the last 2 months, but the resort is only 1.5% sold after 5 months on the market. So
wow,
you do not have to rush out and get those cabins points.
Yeah. It makes sense that it's been up, because now that the resort is open, people can go see the cabins.
Right.
And I guess this is a good time to talk about, I guess before we get into it, is there any surprises here besides Riviera?
I would say the biggest surprise is a really strong month in July, and fluctuation in the DVC market doesn't mean that much for the economy, but seeing such a strong sales month says to me that if people are concerned, there's been some talk about, is the economy softening, blah, blah, blah. But if the economy is really softening, people don't buy DVC when the economy is bad. I think this indicates that the economy overall is still pretty strong if they're getting this high numbers for DVC. So we'll see if the trend continues or not. But yeah, that's our last news story. But yeah, I want to hear a little bit about, you spent a week in one of the cabins in July, shortly after it opened. So I'm curious what that experience was like. How were the cabins?
I thought the cabin was fantastic. We love the cabin. They're very roomy. I actually like the aesthetic. I don't think Ryder, he even said, those look more like campy, but he's, when you asking an eight-year-old, but he liked it. I think they look really nice in the campground. There's five different colors, so you don't know what color you're going to get. And patio was really nice. That would, in the morning, I would grab my coffee and sit out there. And it was just nice. It was nice and peaceful. I would say a couple things. If you don't have a car, you don't necessarily need a golf cart, but it's good to have one. The bus loops are they're very reliable once you learn it. And just, I would say, is if you do stay there, don't think the bus drivers know where they're going. They know their stops, but they don't know the campground. And one thing, when I learned that I didn't know was that Magic Kingdom, we know that there was a boat that goes to and from Magic Kingdom, but there's also a bus. So we even told, we got on the bus because that was the one time we were going to take the bus. And we said, okay, we got on the bus and we're like, we're going to Magic Kingdom. So the bus driver's okay. So he drops us off at the front. And we're sitting there waiting and a bus never comes, bus never comes, bus never comes. And then, so we finally get on a minivan and we're like, okay, let's just get a minivan. So and the minivan picks you up in front of the lobby. So I went inside. I said, is there a bus that goes to Magic Kingdom? And they're like, yeah, it's in the back. So the bus to Magic Kingdom picks up in the back by Pioneer Hall. And I guess they do that because that way if the boats, if you just miss the boat, you have the option to go get the bus. But no one told us that. And I even asked when I checked in, is there a bus that goes to Magic Kingdom? Yeah, there's a bus that goes to Magic Kingdom. No one thought to say, but it leaves in the back. It doesn't leave at the bus depot. It's just like little things like that. And then we got on two buses and no bus driver. We're like, we're going to Magic Kingdom. And they're like, okay, here's the bus depot. And that also, there was one time when we were leaving, looking for Meadow Trainee Post or the bike barn. They sent us on a wild goose chase. Like they kept telling us and get on this loop, get on that loop. No one knew which loop to get on. I would say that was a little annoying, but to get to the back to Pioneer Hall or to get to the bus depot was actually pretty easy. And the buses come pretty regularly. The cabins themselves, especially the two loops that are open right now, are really close to a bus stop. Some of the campsites that are like the traditional campsites are a little further away from the bus stops, but the actual, the cabins, they're actually pretty close. But the current price for the golf cart is $70 a night. So it's ridiculous. And they've pretty much blocked it where you can't get one offsite. Even if you rent one offsite and you bring it in, you have to prove like all this stuff. So they've changed the rules that changed in June. So they've really made it impossible to rent one offsite. I'm sure there's a way, but just it was going to be too much because I could have rented one. The rate that I found was like $300 in a week and it was going to be $500 through Disney. So we ended up just doing it for the first night just so that we could get to Hoop-Dee-Doo. And then Ryder and Ray went and explored the next morning, drove around. We didn't explore the first night, so it ended up pouring. But it was nice to have the golf cart to get to Pioneer Hall. That was good. But that's a downside, is that you need a car or you need the golf cart. And that just adds, so I think that's one thing. And then no gym. That's, again, it's not a deal breaker for most people, but it's, I think if they had it where if you're staying in the cabins and you're DVC, and you're staying on points, let's say you're not staying cash, but you're staying on points, then you have access to the gym at Wilderness Lodge. If they didn't, that would have been something. But no, you have no access to any gym. Like you don't. You just.
How is the pool access?
The pool. So there's a local pool. Like there's a pool close by. It's just a basic quiet pool. But we didn't see many people there. It was definitely really quiet. We never went. The weather was in the morning was iffy. So we never went. Or we were just really tired. We were going to go to the pool one day and then Ryder just didn't want to go. So the pool, the main pool is always packed. Every time we went by there, it was packed.
You get to take a bus to the main pool, right?
Yeah. Oh, you got to take a bus. Yeah. You got to take a bus. So that's another thing I think they should have done a dedicated DVC pool. There is a quiet pool there, but it's blah. It's just a pool. And it's, and again, it's not dedicated DVC. So I think they thought that the appeal of the cabins were going to sell it, and they went cheap on it, not on the actual cabins, but on the amenities. It did feel like for us, it was fine because it was a really park intensive trip. I really wish we had taken a day to explore the resort a little bit more, because we did do the gem mining at the last, before we left.
Yeah.
We went and did the gem mining. We went and saw the horses. We went to Trails End. We did, and I used my 20% discount for the Welcome Home Weeks, which was great. And then, but we did the gem mining, but you can also use, there's the, it's at the bike barn, and there's, you can go kayaking, canoeing. They have archery. They have, you can rent bikes, and the bike rentals were actually pretty cheap.
Yeah.
The gem mining was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. So Ryder really enjoyed it. And I would have liked to have spent more time there. So I wish we had skipped a park one day and had just enjoyed the resort. But I was like, this, our passes are going to expire. We're not renewing. So I wanted to use every park day.
Yeah.
It is what it is. No regrets, but I think it's great. I loved staying there, but I can see why they're not selling, because they've really, there's no added benefit to it.
Yeah. And I just, at the price point you want, DVC has always at least been luxury adjacent, if not, and of recent has been actual luxury. When you think about Riviera and the new Poly Tower and the Copper Creek Cabins, these are all luxury resorts. And to go to charge that same amount of $220 a point for cabins, no matter how nice they are, that, as you say, you don't have a handy quick service. You got to take a bus to get to food. Mm-hmm. You got to take a bus to go to the main pool. You don't have a gym. I don't know. Is there a laundry in the room?
No, there's no laundry.
No laundry.
The laundry is at the pool.
Even if I'm at a DVC resort and I'm in a studio and I don't have a laundry in my room, it's just an elevator ride away. It's very close. It's 5 minutes away. And I can just leave things running and come back to my room. I don't have to devote my time to take the bus with my laundry, or you probably can't even drive. Because my understanding on Fort Wilderness is you can't really drive around Fort Wilderness because there's no parking anywhere except at the front. And then you're allowed one car at the cabins, right?
Well, yeah, there's one car. You can park. So if you're going to like Meadow Trading Post, I didn't know this, but we saw it because we did take the bus to do the gem mining and everything, and we parked at the front. And what we saw is there is parking that says like 15 minutes, like at the trading post. So you can go there and park. So you can do that. Like it says 15 minute parking, and I'm sure they monitor it because there really wasn't many cars there every time we would see it. But I didn't see one at the pool. I remember when we stayed the last time, which was when Ryder was one, we had a golf cart. So I just took the golf cart over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not easy to do that if you need to do laundry.
Yeah. I just myself, I don't see me ever. I'll probably stay there once because doing the things I do with DVC and having the DVC Help website and things like that, I like to experience each of the resorts for myself. So I'm sure at some point we'll stay there just to say we stayed there. And other than that, I don't think that they're not for me.
I think if you have kids, the bunk beds, Ryder loved sleeping on the top bunk. The bunk beds were super comfortable. I will say
kids love bunk beds for sure.
Yeah. The queen bed, the main bed was not my favorite, but the bed in the Murphy bed was amazing. What we would do, and this is because it is our vacation and we want some adult time. So I did love that because we were originally booked in a studio at Old Key West. So we, for 40 extra points, we got this cabin. So for us, it was worth the splurge because Ryder would go to bed, he would go to bed, and we could sit in the living room, watch TV. It has two TVs, which is great. The old cabins didn't. The old cabins didn't have a TV in the bed. So we weren't sitting there watching Disney Channel the entire week. We actually could watch stuff that was going on. And it was just nice to have that space. The bathroom is on the other side of the cabin from the main bedroom. And I know that was a big complaint from everybody. Didn't bother me at all. I actually thought the location was great. I thought the layout made sense. I thought the layout, like sometimes in a room, you're like, oh, I wish this was over here. Or I wish this was over there. To me, I thought the layout was great.
I don't get that complaint myself. It's not your house. What's the big deal for a week that you have to walk an extra 20 feet to go to the bathroom? Because it makes more sense to have the plumbing all together, right? The kitchen and the bathroom. I don't know. I don't find it to be an issue, but I know some people got to complain about stuff.
So we really enjoyed staying there, but I see why they're not selling. We have that 2-night stay at the Poly. We're probably going to Jollywood Nights. God help me. But it looks like we're going to, Ryder really wants to go back. So it looks like we're going back to Jollywood Nights, but not the first party. We're going to go and we're planning on spending a lot of time at the resort. I wouldn't do that at the cabins because maybe one day and you enjoy the resort, but it was nice to have that space. I've talked about this before. We do a lot of afternoons, so we don't go to the park until the afternoon. So we chill, and it was nice to have that time and that space within the room and could go walking and I could sit outside on the patio. But if I want to enjoy the resort, no, it's not where I would choose. So I think it just depends on the trip, but I can see why. I think if they had just been smart about it and added stuff, but they didn't.
We've talked about before, if they do end up doing reflections, maybe they put that in one pile. And then if you're staying in the cabins, you have access to reflections to the pool and everything there.
Right.
I could see maybe that happening, but
yeah,
I don't know. It sounds like you still had a good trip though. So that's good.
Yes, except for multipass, which I'm still not a fan, but it is what it is. I have seen where the availability is a little better, but I'm still seeing it's not, I don't think it's great. I think that's a whole other podcast. I did want to mention, since I did mention the parties, the Halloween parties, if you're planning on getting any tickets for the Halloween parties, they're sold out now until September 17th. There's a couple. October's pretty open. At least I think there's only 5 left for the ones that have the discounts for the DVC.
Oh, okay.
But there are some. Yeah. Like the 29th and 31st of October are sold out, and the 11th, but the rest of October is still available. But all of August is sold out. And again, they're sold out till September 17th. So make sure if you're thinking about going, don't waste any time, because these parties do sell out. If you haven't seen, the Fairy Tale Hall now has villains. I did know about this back in July because a friend of mine does the entertainment for the party, and he told me about it. And he did tell me that it wasn't going to start the first 2 or 3 parties, but now they have Maleficent and the Evil Queen. So they're not meet and greets, but when you go through the treat trail, they're greeting guests. Yeah, you can take pictures, but they're there interacting with guests. And everybody that I've talked to that have seen it, they said it's fantastic. So definitely check that. We're going out Labor Day weekend, so I will report back on that. I'm excited. Ryder's going to be Oswald for the 3rd year in a row.
All right. That's okay.
So he's dedicated. What can I say?
Yeah.
And you have no trips, right?
I was going to say I don't have not so scary tickets, but I got my Oogie Boogie Bash tickets for California. That's
awesome.
Coming in about a month and a half, heading out there for 3 days. And it's the most expensive 3 days of park tickets I've ever spent, because the Oogie Boogie Bash was like $179. And then I'm going to be there Saturday and Monday, so I got a 2-day pass. And that was like $390 for 2 days. So
God.
Because I wanted to, like, it's a my DVC points thing, so I want to be able to hop. The other people out there all have annual passes, so I didn't want to get just like a one park per day for a 2-day thing. It adds up.
Yep.
It adds up in Florida too. But yeah, I was like, $390? Holy cow.
Yeah. I know.
But I just had to buy one, so that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. I missed the days when Ryder was, I didn't have to buy him a party ticket, but because everybody's like, why do you take him to the party? And I'm like, because it's free. I don't have to pay for him. Yeah. And then you have to pay for airfare too. So I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And I tell people, they're like, you go to Disney so much. I go, we drive and we're DVC. So it's like practically free, but looking forward to it. We're doing one night at the Grand Floridian. So I'm looking forward to staying there again. And then we're moving over to Universal. So we're going to be cheating on Disney for a while.
That's right.
So we did the same thing last year. Anyway, but before we go, we do want to give a shout out to our 3 sponsors and a thank you to DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the My DVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.